Basket chat room, kind of difficult to say. We're all contributors at thepeachbasket.net and some hosts shows on the Peach Basket Podcast Network, which includes shows like 13 Rules, Random NBA Thoughts, Run It Back, NBA Week in Review, Open Run, 10 on the Clock with Tyrone Smith, the Milwaukee Bucks Beat, Nick NBA, Hoopdini, and more. I'm Jose Salviati, editor at thepeachbasket.net and host of Run It Back, NBA Week in Review. Joining me today to discuss the 2024-25 NBA season are Tyrone Smith of 10 on the Clock with Tyrone Smith, Roger Straws, who covers the 7-0 Cleveland Cavaliers, and Eric Labrador, who covers the Miami Heat. We might have a few other people jump on, and if we do, that's fine. We'll pull them in. But if not, it's just going to be us, and we are going to talk today. The chat room is open to discuss our thoughts and predictions for the 24-25 NBA season. Now, we understand, right, that the season is a few weeks old, but I think that's the perfect time to discuss it because we've seen the teams play. We've got an idea as to who they are. Now, some of these teams started off hot, and they're not going to last. We're going to talk about that. Some of these teams started off flat, and they're going to be okay. We're going to talk about that. So stick with us. If you've got any comments and you happen to be watching on YouTube, leave a comment, man. We'll pull you into the call. We'll answer your question. We'll discuss your concern. If you're watching us on Twitter, unfortunately, I don't think we'll be able to see your comment live. But go over to YouTube. You can find us there. And again, leave those questions or comments about anything anybody has to say. For example, if Roger says something crazy, call him out. Tyrone says something weird, call him out. I'm not going to say anything unusual, so you probably won't have any worries about me, but you know, Eric might. So call us out. Join us on YouTube. We'd love to hear from you. All right, that's it. That's our introduction. Guys, you ready to go?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
For sure.
All right. Topic number one, and we've got, a crack graphics department. So there is our first topic, the top two teams to come out of the West. All right, we're going to do this counterclockwise. I think that's right. No, this is clockwise. I'm sorry. It's daylight savings time is over. It messed me up. Roger, you first. Who do you think are the top two teams that are going to come out of the West? These are essentially the teams that are going to meet in the Western Conference Final. Who you got?
Yeah, my two teams that I got going to the Western Conference Final played their opening games against each other. I got the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets, where it could be possibly the OKC will be making their first finals appearance since they had Harden and Durant and West squad. That opening game showed me that Chet Holmgren could go toe-to-toe with Nikola Jokic, who is a perennial MVP candidate. And I know it's just the opening night, small sample sizes, but the Thunder have been coming on strong. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, another MVP candidate. I think those two teams, they seem to me to be the class of the West.
Hard to argue with any of that. And I can tell you as a guy from L.A., talking about who Shai has turned out to be. I know this is on topic, but it's easy to say now, right? The Clippers absolutely lost that trade, right? I mean, they absolutely lost that trade. The guy that they gave up Shai and others for is no longer on that team. Clippers are floundering. And the Thunder are in this conversation. So it's kind of a tough pill to swallow here in LA. But yeah, no argument from me. I'll share my thoughts in a minute. Let's see. Tyrone, what do you got?
I'm a second that. I'm going to go Oklahoma City and I'm going to go Denver. So, you know, last year, one of the things that we talked about when we was doing the playoff show, Oklahoma City was my team of destiny. I felt like, you know, they were coming in, they had a lot of success, and they was going to ride that success into the playoffs. Unfortunately, it didn't happen that way, but now they have that experience that I really didn't take into account. I just felt like if you playing ball, then stuff like that shouldn't necessarily matter. But now that they have that experience, they went on and they got Alex Caruso. Right. They got Hartenstein, who's not going to be playing for a little bit. But once he comes back, that's going to take pressure off of Chet Holmgren in terms of having to play that five man. Maybe he can be more of a traditional four and guard some fours and maybe not have to be as physical playing like centers like Jokic and other centers in the Western Conference. So Oklahoma City is a complete team, man. I love what they're doing. You know, they have the youth. They went out and they got some guys, some veterans that can help them. And I feel like the sky's the limit for them. It will be a major surprise if they didn't come out as one of the teams in the West. Now for Denver, I mean, they're struggling a little bit. I mean, they're 3-3 right now, but you know, anytime that you have Jokic, you know, you always have a puncher's chance. And overall, I like what Christian Brown is doing as the starter coming in from KCP. I feel like as the season progresses, you know, the bench get better, mainly Russell Westbrook. I feel like he has his up and down moments. But as the season goes along, I feel like he'll be that key guy coming off the bench for them. And everybody will pull into their role eventually. You know, it's hard to really grade or, like, look at teams right now because it's so early in the season.
100%.
And I feel like Denver will, you know, right now it's tough for them right now. But, you know, once they find their stride, they'll pull it together. So
those will be
my two teams, Oklahoma City and Denver.
All right. It just dawned on me, y'all are East-based. I'm the only guy here West-based. And it's tough for me to answer East Coast questions. You know, I appreciate you guys jumping in. And interesting, we got the same two teams. Eric, are you going to break the tie, or who do you see in the West?
No, it's like Chris Berman used to say when he would do a Sunday NFL countdown. So you're all on the Thunder. I'm on the Thunder too. I think when they got knocked out of the playoffs last year, they're like a team on a mission this year with their pickup of Isaiah Hartenstein. And then I was checking out, you know, I'm East Bay, so it's like unless the Heat are playing people on the West, I don't really, you know, check in. But I did, and I saw that, you know, Caruso's playing, you know, good defense. And it's like they're defending, and then that means they could probably get, you know, to those, you know, they could level up from the second round, third round, and maybe get to the NBA Finals. But not Denver. I think, and it's from, I'm keying off of an article that I wrote, that the Heat are trying to get more entertaining. Phoenix is off to a hot start, and finally – with the pickup of Tyus Jones, maybe they have a guy that can facilitate to that big three, because if not, it's just, you know, a three-headed dragon that isn't going anywhere. Devin Booker, you know, and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. Now they have somebody else there. And, you know, I think they're gonna maintain and they're going to keep it hot. And then if they can and everything comes together, geez, it's like everybody thought when they saw Bradley Beal get signed, you know, all those are 20-point-per-game scorers, 30, 40-point-per-game scorers.
Yeah, I love the Phoenix shout-out. You know, so let me give you my thoughts. Top two teams coming out of the West. And I'm in the West, right? So I pretty much watch most of the games out here. I feel like I can, you know, speak pretty well to the West, less so to the East. But Eric, you said something that I think is real important. And as a former coach, you know, and I'm talking, you know, kids, I'm not talking high school, college or anything, but, you know, I've coached. And the first thing I always tell the kids is it doesn't matter what individual players' skills are. What matters is that we come together as a team, right? Because in the NBA, it's been about the big three for a long time, right? You know, when LeBron, you know, met Dwayne Wade in Miami with Bosch, you know, the big three, Kevin Garnett in Boston. It's always about the big three. You can have big threes. Every team has them now. But if you're not a team, you're not going to win. You're not going to win anything. And we saw that in Phoenix last year. These are three individually really good players, but they just didn't come together as a team. And you see that often, right? You see players that just have to figure out how to play together, right? You can't put together 5 20-point scores and figure out that they're, you know, assume that they're going to be a great team. They're not. They've got to figure it out. And Phoenix certainly looks like they have. So I like I like Phoenix, but let me start with, you know, the number one team. And I agree with all of you. The Thunder are the cream of the crop. They're young. They're fun to watch. They don't seem to have any weaknesses. Their two pickups are the kind of players that you want on championship teams, right? Hartenstein and Caruso. Mm-hmm. These are the guys that are going to get those 50-50 balls. They're going to make the right play. They're not going to make mistakes. You don't need to call plays for them. These are perfect guys for a championship team, and they got two of them. So yeah, unless something goes wrong, they are the cream of the crop. I'm not as sold on Denver either, Eric. You know, we saw Russell Westbrook front and center. He's a phenomenal guy. Honestly, I just think he's a great person. His game is just, you can't trust him. You can't trust him with a shot. You can't trust him to make the right play every time. He will be spectacular 1 second, and he will just make the most baffling play the next. And it's rough, and he's going to have his ball in the hands. I've seen him closing out games for Denver. So Denver, you know, Nikola Jokic is the cream of the crop, is, you know, in terms of ballers. I think he's probably the best in the game again. But you've got to have a team, and I think losing KCP is going to hurt him. So I'm not as sold on Denver, but when I think of the second team, man, I struggle. The Mavericks were in the finals last year, right? Are they going to come back? Is Ja Morant going to make a difference in Memphis? Is Anthony Edwards going to make, you know, finally push his team over the top? I think bringing in or losing Cat was a problem for them. I don't know, man. I definitely the Thunder. I have to pick a number two. I'm going to go with Dallas. Not because I like the Dallas Mavericks. I'm not sold on them, but I just, they made it once, you know, and generally teams that make it, you know, they work hard to get back there again. I think you're going to see a big move at the trade deadline for Dallas. They're going to go all in. So yeah, I'll stick with it. Dallas. Let's move to the East. This is an area where you guys live. You guys see these games. You guys know. These teams a little bit better than me. So let's see. Let's Eric, you kick this one off this time. The top two teams coming out of the East, who you got?
Well, since there's a Miami bias in the NBA, I mean, every time they don't like the way the Heat play, the defense, they slow the game down. You know, Boston's going to be one of them because they're the darling. Everybody loves them. You know, like I put in an article that everybody's saying that Boston has the most talent. And I mean, they're good players. They're the best enemy anybody can have. But the other one is going to be New York. I mean, you know, you saw it, what Kat did, and he's the guy that everybody wants. If they want the three-pointer to be the most interesting thing of the game, he can shoot the three, and then also he's huge. I mean, the Heat, they really didn't have an answer for him when they played on Wednesday night. You know, I looked at the line, 44 points. I mean, wow. You know, so I think it's going to be Boston and New York until, you know, proven otherwise, because everybody loves the Boston and New York thing. You know, secretly and quietly, I'm hoping that, you know, Miami – throws a monkey wrench in there, but I'm a legit fan. I'm not going to be a super homer all the time. You know, they got a lot of things that they need to shore up, but you know, yeah, Boston and New York for me.
Okay. And I want to call out Eric, you know, this is twice now you've had the mic and twice you've promoted your articles. Well done. That's how you do it. He's twice said, I've written about this before. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to make sure that we link to those articles too, to get them out.
Yeah, that's that, you know, I was thinking of the Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, all of a sudden they just on the Boston bandwagon. And I remember during the NBA Eastern Conference Finals when Miami was playing Denver and Boston, geez, I mean, nonstop. It was like every good play would be Boston. So great. Oh, my God. Miami would do something good. And then it was like, yeah, Miami did that. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Jeff Van Gundy went to work as a consultant. He had to leave Boston because he got a job with the Clippers. And then Stan Van Gundy comes out, says the same thing. Oh, they have the most talented roster. Okay, I'll give it to you, you know. But, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, later in the season.
All right. Well, again, always good to self-promote. And, yeah, we got Van Gundy here in L.A., you know, which has been good for L.A. You know,
he always finds a way to, you know, people tire of him after a while, like in Houston and, you know, on the ABC telecast.
And, you know, that's a good topic for you, because we're going to talk about coaches, right? And I think the beginning of the end for any NBA coach is when you start losing your voice, right? When they do get tired of you, the players, more than anybody else. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Roger, who do you got coming out of the East?
Yeah, I had the same exact picks of Boston somehow being the darling NBA, but also somehow the most disrespected. The only team that won 60 games last year has probably the best depth from 1 through, you know, 15 on their roster every single night. And they probably will take that as a sign of disrespect to push them through this season to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. And, Mark making that splash as well, getting Cat, makes me think that they are serious about contending this year as well, not just, you know, just being, you know, grinding out every single game that they do kind of under Tibbs. I think got plans for getting to the finals, at least having that aspirations, because it always seems like Tibbs teams kind of down the stretch lose some steam. It might be the way that he practices, he plays them, you know, 40 minutes a night, but I think getting Cat will hopefully alleviate spacing issues and be able to kind of open up their team a little bit more. I would love to say that the Cavs have a ceiling that they could win 2 playoff matchups, but it's difficult to see now since we have construction we had going into last season. But unless they make like an acquisition at the trade deadline to get like a number 2 guy, or maybe Darius Garland or Evan Mobley could be that number 2 option. If teams key on Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs, I think it'll probably be Boston, New York, Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay. Coming from a Cavs guy, that says a lot. I'll share my thoughts last year. Tyrone, what do you got?
I think I gotta go with the panel here.
Okay.
So, you know, Boston is a team, man, that I just, you know, they style of basketball is so beautiful. Like, you know, just if you just like to see threes chucked up all over the place, it's beautiful. But then it always makes you wonder, like, what happens when those shots don't fall? Like, what happens when, you know, they go on a stretch where they miss like 12, 13 straight three-pointers? And I mean, I've seen it in the flesh last Saturday when they played the Pistons. They was up 23 points, and the Pistons was able to grind it out and actually had a lead at one point in that game because they just stopped missing shots. And when it seemed like when they stopped missing shots, they didn't want to play defense, and, you know, the Pistons were able to capitalize on that. But ultimately, you know, the Celtics showed championship pedigree, winning that game, which, you know, made me feel some type of way as a Pistons fan. But that's neither here nor there. But so, you know, we talk over the depth is nice for Boston, and they're doing all this without Porzingis. So you got to really admit, when he comes back, he's going to probably give them that element of somebody that they can throw the ball to in the paint, and he can, you know, be a post presence for them, per se, in addition to what he does out there on the perimeter. So Boston is nice. I like what they do, but, you know, it's still questions about, you know, how do they handle when they don't make shots? Because it seems like when they don't make shots, it messes it goes into like their defensive philosophies and that aggression that they had on the defensive end. And for the Knicks, look, I mean, I like what they did in terms of getting Karl Anthony Towns in the fold. The OG Anunoby one was kind of interesting to me. I felt like that was a lot to $200+ million for OG. I felt like it was kind of a stretch. But, you know, when you're a team that feels like they have the pieces to go to win a championship, then these are the type of moves that you have to make to, you know, do what you want to do. So, you know, the Knicks, man, I want Mikal Bridges to get his shot together. You know, that's been a big talking point. And I feel like as the season goes along, that'll change. And, you know, he'll be a more consistent shooter. You know, they just have depth, you know, from 1 through 5. And, you know, with Tibbs, their defensive philosophy is going to be there. So, yeah. You know, the Knicks, man, you know, I think those are the two teams out the East that can come off for sure. So,
All right. So the three East guys, they've got the same two picks, right? So me, the knucklehead in the West, I'm gonna disagree. I'm not gonna disagree with Boston. Boston's fun. They're the defending champs. They play good basketball. They are a team, right? In every sense of the word. Their coach is acting as if they are, you know, the underdog, right? Everything he says talks about, we got a target on our back. You know, every coach says this. But there's something about that guy's mentality. I just think they're buying in. He definitely has their ear. And he's going to convince that team that they're the worst team in the NBA and going out there improving it every game. So this, Boston's the cream of the East. I think the cream of the crop in the East. But now, here's my problem with New York. All right. Tibbs is a defensive coach. Cat is an offensive player. Okay, in the regular season, you're going to be okay with that. But in the playoffs, defense wins games, right? And Cat's going to be a liability. The other problem I have in New York is that it's a brand new team, right? Bringing in someone like Cat changes your team. They're obviously going to have 82 games to figure it out. But you remember, right? We talked about Chris Bosh, LeBron, and Dwayne Wade in Miami. That team started... And Eric, keep me honest here. I think they started 2-3 or 2-4 or something. They did not start winning right away. It 8-9.
Took them a while. Like 8-9. That was when the shoving match between the indirect shove between Spo and LeBron. They were 8-9, something like that in the 11th season. And and then they ended up picking that together. But yeah, like at first it didn't look like it was gonna happen.
It takes time, man. It takes time. And Braun wanted Spo out, and Pat Riley said deal with it. I mean, there was a lot of drama. And I'm not saying the Knicks are gonna have to deal with drama, but you know, it's New York, man. You know, every little bit of drama is just gonna be, you know, magnified, just like in LA. So I think things are gonna be a little bumpy for the Knicks. So I like the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think that team, and I'm not saying that because Roger's here. I'm not. I really do think that team is there because they're a team, and I think they're going to have to make a move. They're going to have to bring in somebody else, and I think that team understands that they're close. You know, I'm hoping that they make a run. It'd be great for Cleveland, great for that team, great for Donovan Mitchell, who's been on really, really good teams that just could never get over the hump. So my picks are Boston and Cleveland. All right, and if I'm right, I will hold it over all three of your heads, Austin, just so it's clear. All right, let's move on to the next one. Next topic, top two MVP candidates. We've already yelled out a name, Nikola Jokic, a couple of times. Who are the top two? And I don't mean to start with Nikola. Matter of fact, I'll do this first. I've gone last the first two times. I hate the MVP award. I'll tell you why. Because what does valuable mean, right? My estimation has always been that it should be the best player on the best team, right? It makes it really simple, right? But it's so incredibly subjective. If you want to pick the best player in the NBA over the last 10 years, it's been LeBron James. I get why, you know, Nikola Jokic won it. I get it. I understand it. I get why all the other guys who didn't win it, who won it over LeBron, won it. But the best player is LeBron James, man. I mean, he's the best player. But the subjectiveness of the award bugs me. All right. But that being said, I do think the top two, you know, Nikola again, because of who he is. I think Wemby is going to get more votes than you might suspect because he's changing the game. I don't think he's a number two guy, but I think Wemby probably finished in the top five this year, make a real significant jump. This is a West Coast bias, I think, but I'm going to go with, And it's funny because Minnesota's more east. But I think Anthony Edwards and Nikola Jokic would be my two. And I feel like I'm missing a few people, but that's my gut. I'll go with it. Let's see. Tyrone, you're next. Who you got? Who are your top two MVP candidates?
I'll split it up. I'll do one east, one west. So I'll say for the west, you know, you got good ones. You got Jokic. You got LeBron. You can throw AD in there if you want to. Luka, Anthony Edwards. You know, it's a lot of good ones.
Shai.
Yeah, that was gonna be my pick. Shai Gilgeous. I feel
sorry.
Yeah, you know, but Shai, man, you know, what he does offensively is nice, but you know, the defensive aspect of what he does in terms of being a disruptor just makes him that much more of a complete player. And I feel like Oklahoma City is probably gonna be the best team in the league. And I agree with you, like the award should be for the best player on the best team. So I'll go Shai for the West. And then for the East, because he's been on a tear as of late. And you know, it's been fun to watch. Jason Tatum. So Jason Tatum and Shai will be my two MVP candidates.
Love
it. Conference. You know, just everybody wondered about, you know, his shot being changed coming into the season. It looks like it's had no effect whatsoever. And, you know, his other aspects within his game is just making him that much more of a complete player, which makes Boston that much more dangerous. So Shai and Jason Tatum would be my two MVP candidates.
Love it. I love it. And I love that we've got four different names so far. That's kind of cool. And it shows how wide open the race is. Roger, who you got? Top two MVP candidates.
Yeah, before I get there, I do agree with you, Jose, in so much that like it is a very subjective award. It's a writers voted on, you know, so there's like the stats versus narrative type of conversations that always happen every single year. The whole MVP, you know, fatigue thing that happened to Jokic and will happen possibly say that he's the most valuable based on the analytics that he puts up, but he's already won it three times. So it's kind of like, what are you going to do there? I mean, I do think that, yeah, having Shai, if he wins like 60 games this year with the Thunder and they're leading from the start, no doubt in my mind, he should be up there. You know what I mean? Up there. I think he finished second last year behind Jokic, I believe. So like he should be definitely a strong candidate. And I think if the way that the Knicks are setting up their team based on the constraint they're building around Jalen Brunson with Cat coming in to face the floor to get out of there so Brunson can attack the lane more, I think Jalen Brunson could be easily up there top three voted upon MVP if he has the season he should have.
Okay. I love that call out. Jalen Brunson's a bit of a dark horse, but I'm for it. I love that. All right, Eric, you got the last word. Who are your two top MVP candidates this season?
Well, I had three kind of listed, but now I'm listening to you guys. I think since Jokic has won it so many times and LeBron has Bronny playing with him this season, I think LeBron's going to be a candidate in consideration. It's going to be like, you know, the swan song, the last dance type of gift to him, you know, even though his son has nothing to do with it, but like if the Lakers continue to play well, but it's like, you know, a PR thing for the NBA. And then Donovan Mitchell, you know, he's a face. I think they could back him, you know, in terms of, you know, if Cleveland continues to do well, you know, he's a guard, he's flashy, he's got a great nickname, Spider, you know. I was going to say also Jason Tatum, but like, I'm kind of tired of talking about Jason Tatum so much. So yeah, Donovan Mitchell or LeBron, just off the top of my head.
Dang. Okay. Those are interesting picks, man. I love it. I love the diversity in the picks here. Again, it just shows how wide open that race is and very interesting. I think we'll probably get it right between all the names we threw out. And I love what Roger said. I never heard it called that way, but MVP fatigue, right? You win it three times. All of a sudden, it's harder to win it the fourth time. It just should go to the best player. It shouldn't be any fatigue, man, but on we go. All right, last question that we're going to ask you guys that we're going to allow, you know, a little bit of conversation around. Then we're going to go a rapid fire round. But this one, we're going to have a little bit of discussion, just like we've had about the other topics. Who's the first coach to get fired and why? I've got a name in mind. Let's see. Eric, I know you just got done talking, but let's start with you. Who do you think is on the hot seat already?
I'm going to say Rick Carlisle from Indiana. Because Indiana's off to a rough start, and with everything that they did last year in terms of, you know, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, if they continue losing games, he's going to be out, because you don't want to waste that fan base. You know, they're going to start making noise, and it's like, you know, you got all those young guys there. And if they're not winning after the season they had last year, I think he'll be the first coach.
I hadn't even thought about him. Yeah, I mean, anytime you win, the expectations go up. So that makes sense.
I saw a lot of chatter about Halliburton and that, you know, is he playing well? Is he not playing well? What's going on? And it's like, you know, I just started looking at, you know, doing some research before I came on. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, Rick Carlisle, unfortunately, like, he's long in the tooth. So they're going to start, you know, banging the drum about, oh, we need to get a younger guy in there, this and that. Right. And it's like, you know, I think I also had Doc Rivers in Milwaukee because, you know, he filled in when they fired the coach last year. They're talking about, you know, Giannis and Dame, you know, having problems. But, I think Rick Carlisle more than anything else, because that team, everybody was probably expecting them to be a contender, and they're not doing well.
Good pick. I hadn't thought about it. If it happens, that's going to be a very popular snippet on the internet, you calling that out at this point. Let's put that in our back pocket, see how that flies. Roger, who do you think is the first coach to get fired and why?
Yeah, if you're – I know the first coach that's not getting fired, and that's Kenny Atkinson, because he has delivered more than I thought he would this first, you know, week of the season, or first 2 weeks of the season. And I think that having him come from the Golden State system, they're going to be implementing more split action in the offense, running less pick and roll, allowing the ball to, you know, move a little bit more freer, but get hopefully more open three-point looks will be the key for the Cavs this year. I believe since you alluded that we all should have the same answer, I think the correct answer is Doc's, because the Cavs put a dagger in their heart last night with Donovan Mitchell jumper, 0.3 seconds left. And if it keeps going this way for Milwaukee, I can't not see it going, because they have guys that are there to win now. I know Chris Middleton's hurt, and that's, you know, hopefully he can come back and be the player that he was in 2021. But yeah, they don't really have too many excuses if they can't compete in the East.
Yep. I'll go next, Tyrone. We'll save the last word for you. But yeah, man, Doc Rivers' tenure in Milwaukee is and just look at his career, right? He won it all in 2008 with Boston, and he's just consistently
nothing else.
Yeah, nothing else since then. But he always gets another opportunity, right? He was really good in L.A. He was the right coach when the whole Donald Sterling thing happened. He was the right coach for that team. Just to handle that and the weirdness of it and the ugliness of it, he was the right coach. But in terms of, you know, making the right calls and managing that team's odd, you know, not odd, unique personality between CP and Blake, he didn't do a great job. But he just keeps falling up, man. And we're just not seeing success from Doc Rivers. And, you know, Adrian Griffin, the guy that he replaced, you know, I'm trying to find the tweet now. I can't find it. But I think, you know, they've coached the same number of games, and Adrian Griffin's record much better than Doc Rivers' record.
He was in first place. They were leading the East. And then
yeah. And it, you know, it reminds me, this is in the, you know, the 80s, so I might lose folks already here, but you know, the Lakers were winning games. They had Paul Westhead as the coach, but Jerry Buss, the owner at the time, said they're not winning fun, right? They're mucking up the game. I want showtime. So he fires Westhead, brings in Pat Riley. Now that worked out okay for the Lakers. But I kind of think that that's what Milwaukee wanted. We're winning, but we're not winning well. We want to be exciting. We brought in offense over defense with Dame over Drew, and it just hasn't worked, man. And so the first coach to find the unemployment line has got to be Doc Rivers. Tyrone, you get the last word. Who do you think?
Okay, so I'll throw a little bit of a monkey wrench in it. I'll say this. I'll say that Doc Rivers definitely deserves to be fired. Doc Rivers definitely didn't deserve to be the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. And we talk about champions, and I feel that the Boston, that 2008 Boston Celtics team, I feel like they're just over-glorified. Like, every single time they're talking about that championship, like, I don't hear the 03 Pistons talking about it. You don't really hear the Miami Heat talking about theirs. But every single time they're talking about that championship, and it's so annoying. And Doc Rivers is so annoying. Like, I've always felt like Doc Rivers was an overrated coach. I've always felt that way. And him coming to the Bucks and not being able to produce yet. I mean, it's still early, so let's
keep
that in mind. It's still early, so there's still a chance for him to put it together, but the results are there. Since he's been with the Bucks has not been a good team. Adrian Griffin got robbed of his job, and that's a shame. Mm-hmm. It's a shame. So first coach to be fired. I'm going to go Chauncey Billups in Portland. And the reason I say this is because I don't feel it's fair to Chauncey. Right. When you are a rebuilding team, like, your ownership should understand that you're rebuilding. So it's not an overnight success. Like, a lot of teams have overnight success, but when you're rebuilding, most of the time it takes a couple years to kind of implement what you want to implement in terms of your philosophies to the players to be able to be successful. And something just tells me that, you know, Chauncey he's gonna be on that short leash this season, because it's been a couple seasons now, and they've been kind of struggling still, and who knows what the season is gonna bring for them in terms of a losing streak. I feel like if they go on one big 6-7 game losing streak during the course of the year, I feel Chauncey Billups will probably be the first coach to be let go. Dark horse, I'll say Billy Donovan in Chicago too. Now, Chicago's doing well. I mean, they're 500, right. So, you know, it may not happen like I want it to happen, but Chicago made the moves to rebuild. They didn't bring back DeRozan. They're trying to get rid of LaVine. They're trying to get a Vucevic. So they understand that they have to prioritize their young players. And with Donovan, something tells me that Donovan is more of a coach that wants to be put in a situation where the players are established and the culture is maybe win now compared to having to develop players and building that culture over time. So Billy Donovan is my dark horse. Chauncey Billups is probably going to be the first coach that I can see being fired. And Doc Rivers, please, like, just go. Like, just leave. Like, go.
You know, again, I'm an LA guy. I'm out here in the West Coast, and I'm relieved / excited / optimistic that nobody said JJ Redick. I think he would have been on the list at the start of the season, because people were, you know, they weren't sure, you know, and they didn't like how he got the job. And I think there was a little bit of an expectation that he'd fail. And yeah, so far the Lakers are doing good, which is a great segue to our rapid fire round. Okay, now here what we're going to ask you guys to do is to share your thoughts, but share it quickly, right? One or two sentences, you know, be as, you know, precise as you can, as detailed as you can, but, you know, again, keeping it short. And we're going to start, and this is the segue part. We're going to start with this question, right? which team that got off to a hot start, and let's say, you know, they're a top five team in either conference, which team that got off to a hot start is a mirage? And just to kind of level set here, here are the top five teams in the West, the Thunder, the Suns, the Warriors, the Lakers, the Mavs, top five. And it, you know, it can be top 10, but just to throw this out, top five in the East, the Cavs, the Celtics, the Knicks, the Heat, and the Bulls. Roger, who do you think got off to a hot start, but it's just a mirage, man?
Yeah, I kind of feel like this impending feeling that there's going to be some commonality and we're going to agree again about this answer, at least for the East. Because, I mean, the Cavs are 7-0 for the first time ever without a LeBron in the team since 1976, 1977. So this is unheard of territory for the Cavs. I know I'm being a bit raining on my own parade, but I guess I should rain on my own parade than let y'all rain on the Cavs parade. They're not a mirage. They are just, I guess, they got their core four, and a lot of teams like the Knicks, you know, have new players and whatnot. So they're just ready to go. So they're just once we, I think, play Boston in a couple weeks, we'll figure out what kind of actual team this is. I think it's on the 19th on TNT. So tune in.
All right, TNT, you're welcome. We're happy to take royalties for that promotion. Eric, what team that got off to a hot start is a mirage?
I think just it's a cursory look, but I don't buy Golden State at 4-1.
Yeah.
I don't think they're back. I think at one point in time, they're going to start, you know, going on a losing streak.
Yep. Okay, I like that one. Tyrone, I'll save as the last word for me. What do you got? What team, a hot start, mirage?
I'm going to go Cavs. You know, it's still early, like I've been saying. So, you know, they're finding their stride right now. But, you know, as the season goes along, I feel that things will probably level out. And it'll. So I got the Cavs.
Okay. Listen, Cavs aren't going to go 82-0. Okay, but I think the Cavs are a good team. I think they're going to finish definitely in the top three in the East. The Mirage in the East are the 3-3 Bulls. This is not a good team, and I don't, you know, right now they're number five in the East. That's not going to last. And Eric, you beat me to it. There is so much love for the Warriors right now, but that's a mirage, man. They're 5-1 right now. Buddy Hield went off. It's a mirage. They're not going to last. Let's move on. Rapid fire. Next one. What team that got off to a poor start is an anomaly, right? They're going to be okay, but they just stumbled out of the gate. Tyrone, you start us off. Who you got?
I'm probably going to get a lot of laughs for saying this particular team, and I think you know where I'm going with this, Jose. Detroit versus everybody, so I'm going to go with the Pistons.
Okay.
And I say this to say because if you look at the Pistons now, they are 1-5. You can legitimately make an argument for them being 4-1. I think you can legitimately make that argument. They've been in games. They've just faltered in the fourth quarter. It seems like that their culture is changing in Detroit finally. So they're gonna pull it together as the season goes along. So I'm gonna go with my hometown Pistons as that team.
As you should. I respect it. Eric, who you got? Bad start, but they're gonna be okay.
Philadelphia. Philadelphia only got one win, but it's like Embiid, he's having he's in his feelings right now. I saw a couple of, you know, headlines that, you know, he's upset. At one point in time, they're gonna have a sit down because this team they were too close. They got Caleb Martin, they traded, you know, Tobias Harris. They're gonna settle down and they're gonna start playing well.
Okay. It was interesting. I don't have that much faith in the Sixers. I saw them. I thought about that, but I thought, no, they're not going to be a bottom-tier team. But when I look at it, I'm glad you called it out, and I'm glad there's faith and confidence in the Sixers. When I look at the bottom tier, certainly the Nuggets are the ones that kind of stuck out to me. Right? They started off, you know, poorly. They're 3-3 right now. Let me look that up. Definitely the bottom of the West. They're at 11-3-3. They're going to be okay. And then the Nuggets. We talked about them when we talked about the top two teams. They're going to be okay. Roger, you got the last word. Bad start, but they're going to be all right.
Who you got? Yeah, I don't think Rick Carlisle really is on the hot seat. I think they may be feeling a little bit of an Eastern Conference dip from, or really, you know, depression from losing and having, I think, a lead in all four games against the Celtics, if I remember right. So I think the Pacers are going to get it right. They always play the Cavs hard, and they have that run and gun offense where they're going to score 150 points like 20 times a year. That once they get their flow going, I think they'll be right there in the 4 or 5 seed for the playoffs.
Love it. I love that, you know, we all have different thoughts. That's the beauty of it. That's why we love sports. Everybody's got different opinions. And this ensures that one of us who gets it right is going to have bragging rights on everybody else when this season, when the dust settles, which I love. All right, let's see. We got a couple more rapid fire. Let's go to the next one. Okay, this was kind of an interesting one. And again, I asked this one because I have a player in mind. So I'll go last because none of y'all are going to name my player. I know it. Who's one surprise player, who's going to have a really good half of the season and become an unlikely all-star? Let's see. Eric, why don't you start us off? Who you got? Anyone come to mind?
Well, this guy, it's Anthony Davis, just because, he's off to a hot start. And I think before he gets injured, which Anthony Davis usually at one point in time in the season gets injured, he's scoring 32 points per game. Jeez, that's a surprise to me. And, everybody's been looking, for that for like forever because he's tailed off the last couple of years.
Yeah. All right. AD, you saying when he gets hurt, that was –
he's going to get hurt again. It's going to happen, no doubt about it. But before that, he's balling out. He's doing New Orleans Anthony Davis.
He's been spectacular. Tyrone, you got a surprise unlikely all-star candidate?
I give you two. I'm going to go LaMelo for the Hornets just because he's been hurt the last two seasons. But when he's played, he's a 26-8 guy. Still, he's erratic with his shooting, but he's a playmaker, and he's been balling out for Charlotte so far this season. So that's one. And once again, I got to go home team. I got to go with Kay Cunningham. Same kind of story. Been hurt. Haven't really had the help per se, but this season he's been real consistent. Him and Jaden Ivey. That's been a great backcourt to watch so far. But Kay, I think he's making the argument for being an all-star this year. So those would be my two, LaMelo and Kay.
Good picks. Roger, who do you got? Surprise all-star.
Yeah. And Eric, don't forget, AD is the 2024 NBA Cup champion. So he's got hardware, from last season to brag about. So hopefully, the Lakers will make another run for another championship this year, right?
Yeah.
Right, Jose? Anyway, my guy, because Atkinson seems to have a lot of faith in him, and obviously has seen his development in the last couple of years, is Evan Mobley. He goes around circles as the nickname of Slim Duncan. And if he can be half the player of Tim Duncan's stature, he'd be, I think a great number two to Spider Mitchell. And they might not even need to trade for anybody if he can grow into the player that he's, promised to be.
Okay. I love that pick. I love his game. I never heard Slim Duncan. That's an interesting nickname. I like it. We don't have great nicknames in the NBA anymore. So I'm all for bringing that back. All right, here's my pick. This guy currently is averaging 17.5 points, 13 rebounds, center position. This is a guy you don't have to call plays for. He's a grinder. He's a bulldog. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And that is the Clippers center, Ivica Zubac. I like him, man. I just think he's a solid player. Would love to see him. It's kind of a blind squirrel gets a nut every now and again. I'd like to see him finish his career with one all-star game. And this might be that season. All right, that's my surprise pick. All right, here's the final one, rapid fire. Before we go with closing thoughts, Do you have a shocking prediction for the 2024-25 NBA season? What's going to happen that's going to shock some folks? It doesn't happen every season, but we've had some big trades. We've had teams excel. You don't generally have Cinderella teams in the NBA, but it might happen. What do you think? Let's see. Roger, start us off. Do you have a shocking prediction for the 2024-25 NBA season?
I feel like we were talking about this a lot last year, but I'm going to go the other way because I have faith in him. I think Draymond Green is not going to get suspended this year. He's going to play 82 games, and he's going to lead the Warriors back to the promised land.
Wow. Love. Okay. That's shocking. That is shocking. But it's now saved for forever and ever. The internet doesn't forget. I love that pick, and I hope it's true for Draymond. Tyrone, do you got a shocking prediction?
Bucks, Sixers don't make the playoffs or play in.
Wow.
I just, you know what? Look, all the teams are younger. They got a lot to prove. Coaching, injuries, Paul George, Joel Embiid, Giannis may get traded this year. That may be another shocking prediction. He might be traded this year. He doesn't look happy at all. Dame look like
to the Cavs.
Hey, maybe Golden State. Who knows? But that's my shocking prediction. I don't think Philly or Milwaukee makes the playoffs. They'll fight for a play-in spot, but I think those two teams will be out.
Shocking. All right, Eric, I'm going to save the last word for you. Well, at least on this topic. Here's my shocking prediction. And I'm not all in on this, but I'm about 75% feeling confident about this one. The Boston Celtics will not win it all this season. Shocking? And they're the favorites. They're not going to win it all this season. I don't know who is. I got thoughts, but they're not winning at all. They're not repeating. The dynasty is on hold. All right, Eric, what do you got? Shocking prediction for the season.
I've been seeing chatter that at least one of them is thinking of getting traded. I think I'm just gonna do a super shocker. Dame and Giannis get traded this season. The Milwaukee Bucks blow everything up.
Okay. You know, I host a show, 13 Rules, Random NBA Thoughts podcast with Steve, and we talk a lot about how hard it is, right, to be a GM, to build a team. And the biggest decision you have to make is when do you have to blow it up, right? You always want to blow it up early, right? You don't want to hold on to players too long. I'm with you, man. That is shocking, and it would send that'd be an earthquake around the league, but. Yeah, I guarantee you that's on a whiteboard somewhere. What can we get? What can we get for this guy? We can imagine Giannis. We've already said Giannis.
We already started seeing the chatter for Giannis that that he's his potential teams, that he likes. I think, Dame hasn't been happy since Joe Cronin and they leveraged the trade to Milwaukee and he didn't want to do anything with Miami, which is like one of the worst trades in history. I don't know why Cronin still has a job. So if Giannis ends up going and he starts, banging the grass to stir the snakes, Dame's going to be like, look, I'm gone. See ya.
Right. Yeah, he's still bitter. He didn't end up in Miami where he wanted. All right, great ones, man. That was fun. Those were great, great, great predictions. Let's see which, if any, we get right. Final word, and we're going to give everybody a little bit of time to talk about their team, right? We got the Cavs represented. We got the Heat represented. We got the Pistons represented. Kind of the Hornets with a dotted line. And I'll hear representing the LA teams. So how many games will your favorite team win this season? I'll start. I'll let one of y'all have the last word. Again, I'm an LA guy. Grew up a Laker fan, covered the Clippers for different sites. And I think things are tough in LA. I think both LA teams are middle tier at best. I think the Clippers are going to struggle to be a play-in team. I think they'll get there. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a 40 to 45 win season at best for the Clippers. Now, the Lakers might have a little better luck, but it all depends on Eric's prediction, right? If AD can keep going, because it's got to be AD's team. It's got to be. The fact that it's been LeBron's year in and year out has been a problem. AD's got to be the best player on that team. They could make some noise. But I see them topping out at about 50. They're going to be better than the Clippers, but not by much. So just kind of an underwhelming season in Los Angeles basketball, in my opinion. All right, let's see. Roger, your favorite team currently, losses.
Yeah, Cavs are hot. Yeah, the Cavs are hot, and they're hopefully the talk of the town. I know they're always lamenting how much or the lack of media attention they get, and hopefully they keep this momentum going throughout the whole season in the playoffs. I think best case scenario for the Cavs is like a 50-win season, 51, 52, like 3-seed, 4-seed, and I think what has to break right for them is they've got to be healthy and possibly making a deal at the trade deadline to possibly get a secondary score or someone to get the ball if Mitchell's not having a good night. Like I said, it could be Mobley if Mobley's growing into that player. But I think if the Knicks kind of start crumbling, they get some injuries at the wrong times, I think it's like a Boston Cavalier Eastern Conference final is best case scenario, kind of like how you predicted, Jose. And you know, at that point, who knows? You know, we'll see. We'll take it if we can get that far. I think it'd be a good season if we can do that.
Nice. I'm high on the Cavs. I like them. Let's see where things turn out for them. Tyrone, which team are you going with, and how many games do you think they're winning?
You know what? I want to do both. So okay. I'll start with Charlotte. I'll say Charlotte. Look, that team on paper, roster wise, very talented. I think with LaMelo, Brandon Miller, I like the center rotation with Mark Williams and Nick Richards. Josh Green was picked up in the trade. Trey Mann was picked up last trade deadline. So it's a lot there. Injuries has always been the Achilles heel for this team. LaMelo's been injured. Brandon Miller is currently injured. I believe he's coming back this week, though, or maybe next week, one of the weeks he's coming back. Mark Williams, he shows promise, but he's been hurt. So for Charlotte, and you know what, it's funny because when we talk about articles, I actually wrote an article on this. My ceiling for the Hornets is 34 games. I think they'll win 34 games. This stretch right now that they're going through is really tough right now, but I think it'll ease up as the season goes along. They got like 9 straight home games in January going into February. So 34 is going to be my number for the Hornets. Now for the Pistons, it looks rough right now. They're 1-5. But even as I said, you know, I think you could legitimately make an argument that they are a much better team. They've been in every single game with the exception of the Knicks game that they just played. It stacks up to me that the Pistons, I think they will turn it around. I think the Pistons will be a 36-win team this season. So I'll go 34 for Charlotte. I'll go 36 for the Pistons.
Okay, I love how specific you are, man. No range. I mean, that's just right spot on. I love that. All right, and if you know if it's right, you get bragging rights all offseason. Good numbers, good thought process, all right? Before I give it to you, Eric, I think I said 50 for the Lakers. That'd be a really good season. I didn't mean 50. I'm sorry. 45 is their ceiling. 40 for the Clippers. Again, middle road of the team. Middle road for both of them. Miami Heat. Eric, where do you see them finishing this season?
Well, I think they're trying to, as I put in my most recent article, that they're trying to be more entertaining to what the NBA wants. Bam could shoot the three. Thomas Bryant could shoot the three. So if they have, you know, this five out you know, offensive mentality that they're doing. Once those guys start hitting, they're going to get better. But I think Miami just they have a duplicate with Tyler Hero and Terry Rozier. And if they can get like that, they got a good defensive. It's what I call the Jimmy Butler strategy. If we concentrate on defending and not just worrying about making shots, we'll be okay. If Miami can get a dyed-in-the-wool point guard, kind of like Kyle Lowry, and they can get like a vacuum rebounder, you know, when Khalil Ware, you know, comes up to speed and he's ready to go, that might be the guy. Then Miami can counteract all that entertainment stuff, and they'll be, you know, the villains with the black hat, and they'll slow down all the, you know, the three-point shooting and stuff. For right now, you know, until then, if they choose to go this route, 45 wins, same as last year.
Okay. Okay. So the only one of our teams that has a legitimate shot are the Cleveland Cavaliers, based on what we're predicting. So let's see how that plays out. All right, man, that's it. That's our show. We're so glad you found us. Thank you for listening. Listen, everything counts, and we appreciate everything. That's in terms of listens, comments, likes, sharing, anything y'all can do to help to get the word out about the peachbasket.net is very, very appreciated. We thank y'all for watching. Join us next time to talk hoops when the Peach Basket chat room is open. We'll see y'all throughout the season. Thanks, all.
Thank you, Jose.
All right, man.